Hi, my name is Elizabeth Ninke, and in this podcast, we'll be discussing the aftermath of the Salem witch trials, a topic often ignored and overlooked. The Salem witch trials occurred from 1692 to 1693. When the trials were officially stopped in May of 1693, many thought it was over and nothing would become of it. However, in reality, the Salem witch trials had a lasting effect on the world that still exists to this day. Often do we wonder what could have happened if the trials had never come to an end, and the hysteria and chaos that would forever paint the world in fear. Although the conviction and killing of supposed witches slowed to a halt, the term witch hunt that originated with this event didn't quite stop once it was over. The infamous Salem witch trials began during the spring of 1692, after a group of young girls in Salem Village, Massachusetts, claimed to be possessed by the devil, and several local women were accused of witchcraft. As a wave of hysteria spread through colonial Massachusetts, a special court convened in Salem to hear the cases, where 18 were eventually sent to be hung, while some 150 more men, women, and children were accused over the next several months. By September 1692, the hysteria had begun to abate and public opinion turned against the trials. Though the Massachusetts General Court later annulled guilty verdicts against accused witches and granted indemnities to their families, bitterness lingered in the community, and the painful legacy of the Salem witch trials would endure for centuries. The question we must ask ourselves, ultimately, is what if the trials had persisted? What if the only solution to our problems intervened within accusing people who stray from what we consider to be normal? Who defines what is normal? And if this is still not understood in the modern world, then isn't the Salem witch trials still a prevalent topic as ever? In seeking this longevity of ideals, maybe it is true that history does repeat itself, no matter how hard we try to ignore our past. One lasting effect that was caused by the trials was the splitting apart of families and the difficult lives of the accused. Those who survived were compensated. Those that did not, their families received no aid and no closure. Of those that were convicted and accused, but not executed, they still received legal prosecution. But that changed in October of 1711, when the local court repealed most of those convicted and compensated them. It was not until October 31st, 2001, when all of those that had ever been accused were officially claimed innocent by the governor of Massachusetts, Jane Swift. Unfair compensation and accusations exist to this day within government rulings and even stereotypes that prove incredibly harmful to the way our society prioritizes accuracy. Another effect these trials left on the world was the continuation of so-called witch hunts. The Salem witch trials, along with the phrase witch hunt, are often used as a metaphor for the unfair persecution or mass hysteria. This metaphor was extended to the 1953 Arthur Miller's play, The Crucible, which used the Salem witch trials as an allegory for Senator Joseph McCarthy's prosecution of alleged communists at the time. This accusing and searching out of communists in America, particularly Russians, took place during the time period of the Red Scare. Russians would be tried under suspected communistic ideals or beliefs when most of the time they were innocent and the US citizens. Witch hunts like this also occurred in India today. Women are labeled as witches for various reasons and are forced to abandon their lives and receive no aid. In sub-Saharan Africa, witches are usually women labeled by men who are seeking land or property of the accused. These witch hunts are still a prominent thing in the modern world as a result of the Salem witch trials, as we can see. When speaking of the Salem witch trials, it is impossible not to mention the phenomenon observed through the deemed fungus theory. Ergot is a fungus that infects rye, a grain more commonly used in past centuries to bake bread than it is today. One of the byproducts present in ergot-infected grain is closely related to that of LSD. Toxicologists have known for years that eating bread baked with this ergot-contaminated rye can trigger convulsions, delusions, creepy crawly sensations of the skin, vomiting, and hallucinations. And historians were already aware that the illness caused by ergot poisoning was behind several incidents of mass insanity in medieval Europe. One can also wonder if the same conditions might have been present in Salem. They were. Ergot needs warm, damp weather to grow, and those conditions were rife in the fields around Salem in 1691. Rye was the primary grain grown, so there was plenty of it to be affected. It had also been discovered that most of the accusers lived on the west side of the village, where the fields were chronically marshy, making them perfect breeding ground for the fungus. The crops harvested in the fall of 1691 would have been baked and eaten during the following winter, which was when the fits of madness began. However, the next summer was unusually dry, which could explain the sudden drop in the bewitchments. So, no ergot, no madness. So maybe after all, there is an answer for the actions taking place during the witch hunts of Salem in 1692 to 1693. And quite possibly, the solution to what if the trials had persisted is also found within the weaving of certain events in recent history. Maybe it's not necessarily what if they had continued. Rather, it's how we perceive and respond to chaos in today's world. How we continue to stereotype despite its consequences, and how instead of defining others, we should first focus on the defining of ourselves. Thank you. This has been an E. Ninky podcast. This episode sponsored by Chick-fil-A.